said, let's put our hands together again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. While you're standing, we do have a special request. Sister Martinez's niece had brain damage from a motorcycle accident, and her name is Kelly Rios, and they're going to have surgery on her maybe right now. And she's in very, very critical condition. So I'd like you to pray for Kelly Rios. Would you do that right now? God, we pray right now for Kelly Rios. And I ask God that you move. And I pray, God, that you touch her. Oh, God of heaven, do lift her up, Lord Jesus. Heal her, oh, God, I pray. I pray, God, concerning this very serious situation, God. I'm believing, God, that you're touching and you're moving and you're healing, God. Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. Oh, halamashaka rabababariya talamahataya. In Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. All right, while you're standing, and I feel guilty sitting here, but I've had a very severe back, and this week is my back problem. This week has not been very good for me. But we'd like to go to Matthew 5, where we were on Wednesday night. And I used the table, but I put it down below. And I noticed in the back that some people, you know, kind of looking around and couldn't hardly see. And I like to see everybody myself when I'm preaching. And, you know, every now and then when you're preaching, you know, you get on something and you know that it's convicting, and you talk to the congregation, and as a pastor, you know, you every now and then somebody's eyes will get about this big, and you know you've hit a sensitive spot, so you want to stay there for a little while and make sure that that they get the message. Is that being unfair? No, it isn't, is it? All right, Matthew 5, verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This scripture has been used so much, especially in Sunday school class. You may be seated in Sunday school classes. I remember as a child, we used to sing this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. You remember how you do that? Blow on your finger. Don't let Satan blow it out. But when I look at this, there is a real spiritual depth in this scripture that I think that sometimes we just miss. Today's Father's Day, and fathers are primarily the defenders of the home. The word husband comes from an old English, two old English words, house band. And it's talking about the band around the house, like you go over to Menards or someplace and you order lumber, and in order to keep it all together, they put some metal bands around it, tighten it up. So they band the lumber. And so this is what it's talking about. The husband is the band that holds the house together. Now, this being true, then the real spiritual warriors, now we're all spiritual warriors, but I'm talking about the men should all excel without exception to being real spiritual warriors, especially if you are a father. And of course we use spiritual weapons, you know. Now in Wisconsin there is a conceal and carry. You go buy a pistol, and if you you go through classes and such, you can carry that weapon. And I've been asked by a good number of Christians and also by a good number of preachers. I made a trip down south, so several people asked me about it. I think Illinois is the only state that doesn't have a concealed carry law. But Wisconsin has that. Now, I'm just going to throw something out here for your thinking. I've read this Sermon on the Mount many times. And it would be real hard for you if you were carrying a concealed weapon. It would be real hard for you to turn the other cheek if somebody knocked the daylights out of you, like Jesus said. So, no charge for that. All right. So tell the judge, well, I did. I turned the other cheek, but then I ended up pulling a gun and shooting him. So you know, well, just food for thought, you know. But our weapons are spiritual. And we have spiritual gifts. I talked about last week. How many of you were in here Wednesday night? Let me see your hand. Well, let's do it this way. How many of you were not in here Wednesday night? So I'll know, okay, I'll know how much to review. Because this is a subject I spend a lot of time on. The devil was kicked out of heaven in Isaiah 14. He was called Son of the Morning. And the morning simply means, in fact, the book of Ezekiel, 28th chapter, talks about his brightness. It also talks about his tabrets and pipes. So evidently he was in charge of music in heaven. The three archangels, or at least three angels mentioned by name in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer was called Son of the Morning. The Bible also talks about his brightness. And when Lucifer exalted himself to be equal with God, this is when Michael and his angels warred against or fought against Lucifer and kicked him out of heaven. Jesus said, now I'm not going into the scripture because I don't have enough time for that. We did last week. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, like a meteorite or something. He fell, you could see his brightness, and all of a sudden, it was gone. So Lucifer then became the father of darkness, and also he is a liar, and he's a father of all lies. Now, brightness in the scripture not only talks about physical brightness, but it talks about the light inside of you, like Hank Williams, who wrote the song, you know, I saw the light. In other words, a revelation. When you read the Bible about a revelation, Brother Thompson did a remarkable job this morning describing that, how that revelations do indeed come to us. But we do know that Jesus is the light, according to John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then First John 1:5, the Bible says, in him was no darkness, but he was the light of the world. And one of our songs tonight talked about Jesus being the true light of the world. Now, the reason why that this is so important, especially for our fathers, if you're to be the house band, I think that all Christians should excel in the use of spiritual gifts. Now, when I say this, most of you think about prophecy or tongues and interpretation. But no, I think that God gives you special enlightenment so that you can see things ahead of the actual happening. That's what prophecy is, foretelling. are discerning of spirits. And you know as a parent that there have been times in which you knew that your child, your teenage child, was involved in something that was unwholesome. You couldn't quite put your finger on it. And I know that that child, you know, is going to blame you. Say, oh, but you don't trust me. And you kind of quiz the child. But God does give you enlightenment. He allows you to feel things and know things and see things. Now, the thing about it is, if the light that's in you diminishes, in other words, if it starts going out, then you lose a real handle on those spiritual gifts. So your weapons then are not spiritual anymore. They are carnal. And there is such a thing as the light going totally out, which we discussed with you last Wednesday night. Now, an interesting thing is that we turn all the way back to Genesis 1, and I just wanted to talk about creation. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, most Christians believe that all creative days were 24 hours long. Now, I don't personally think that they were 24 hours long. Now, let me explain why. I believe from the fourth day, you see, on the fourth day, the Bible says that God created the sun, and he created the moon in verse 16. Two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, according to scripture, the earth is actually older than the sun or the moon. And perhaps all the stars in our particular galaxy. Now, it wasn't to the fourth day that he created the sun and the moon. And he made them the 24-hour day because they were to serve as rule over day and night and for seasons. And so we have our seasons, we have our year. This next Friday will be the first day of summer, the longest day of the year, and then the days start getting shorter and continue to get shorter until December 21st. So we are approaching the longest day of the year. But see, this, the way it's set up now, until the fourth day, it wasn't that way. Now there was a light and a period of light and a period of darkness. Now what was that light? We don't know. But we do know this, that in the scripture God connects himself to light as the father of lights or light, and that he is the main source of all light. So the first day could have been, who knows, it could have been a million years long. We don't know. But on the other hand, it could have been 4 or 5 hours long too. So I would not speculate as to what length of the time would be, but we know the first, the second, the third, each day consisted of a period of light and a period of darkness. And on the fourth day then, the 24-hour day was made. So seeing that the fourth day, the 24-hour day was made, then all the other days then have to be 24 hours long. So the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth day had to be 24 hours long. Now, the thing about light, you have to understand, if God is the ultimate source of light, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and we want to look at something here. I'm having a little bit of a problem here. My markers are all falling out of my Bible because of this stand, but if I lay it down flat, then I have a hard time reading it. It's just tilted a little bit more than what the pulpit part, or the stand part. Okay, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and let's look at verse 12 and 13. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, this scripture tells us that God has the ability to also, because of he is the source of light, he has the ability to see what we call abstract things. Now, you could cut a skull open, you find a brain, but you can't find a thought. But God is able to look in. He also not only can read your mind, but he can also determine your intent or what causes you to think the way you think. See, that's what God can do. And it says, "All things are open and are naked before him." Now, light travels at a speed of 186,232 miles per second. Now, that's per second, not per hour. 186,232 miles per second. So, it's quick and powerful. It travels in 1 hour 700 million miles. Light can circle the earth, which is 24,901.55 miles. It can circle the planet earth 7.48 times in 1 second. So it is quick and it is powerful. Now, a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. Light travels 5,878,000,000,000 miles in 1 year. Now, if you want to find out how high the national debt is, light travels 5,878,000,000,000 miles, and our national debt is 14 trillion. So if you laid a dollar down for every mile, we're talking about almost three times as much. So we need to do something with our national debt. Don't you agree with that? All right. I heard our president say the other day, though. He said, "Oh, don't anybody get alarmed. Now, we're not broke." He said, "Seriously, we're not broke." All right. Now, the nearest galaxy to our present galaxy is 2.5 million light years away from our Milky Way. Now, when we talk about light, what we see as human beings is what we call white light. Now, if you've had a general science class, you studied this, white light. You've taken a prism, no doubt, and you have turned it a certain way, and you can see how white light then strikes the prism, and the prism, because it's triangular shape and square on the ends, it diffuses the light or separates the light. So we see the rainbow, the rain in the atmosphere does the same thing. Sometimes you can have just humidity in the air so high that it also separates light. But the white light that we see is only a small fraction of the totality of light that exists. So there's light that exists that you can't see, and there's light that exists that I can't see. Some of the animals that we consider to be nocturnal, they can see light at night that you can't see. Sometimes you can get night vision goggles or night vision binoculars or scopes for guns, in which you can see at night. So the prism separates, and you find the color of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue. Some people put indigo in that, and violet. Now the human eye can detect more colors than that. We can detect the blending of these colors. And white is the absence of all color, and black is the presence of all colors. So here we are as human beings, and that's what we see. But we have to understand, though, that there is light that you cannot see. So we have on what we call the light band, the red. If you notice a rainbow, the red's always on the bottom, and the red is what we call the hot side of white light. And the violet's always on top, and that's the cool side. So if you go out a ways from that band, which you can't see with your eyes, immediately off of the band, let's say the cool side is ultraviolet light. And then you have past that, you have X-rays. So when you go into said technician and you put your arm up, What we have done as a nation and as a human race, we have invented apparatuses that will collect that light and shine that light. That light can shine right through. You can see the bones and everything. See? And then of course, we also have radar. You get a ticket, you know, for traveling too fast. If you go on the hot side, right off the hot side, you have microwave, cooks your food now. You have amplitude, you have your AM radio, and then you have your FM radio frequency modulation, amplitude modulation. And the reason why that you can get FM radio so much clearer is because it's considerably further away from the white light that we see than what the AM rays are. You know, we'd say radio waves, but it's all light waves. Waves, rather. So we have all this light. Now, I said that to inform you that there's light that you just simply cannot see. And the thing about it is, what God is saying is that I have light. It's quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I can go right through your arm, through the joints of the marrow. I can see everything that's in there. So when you're praying for healing, please keep in mind, God can see right. He knows what's in there. See. But not only can he see what's in there, the things that you could not see with what we call light, and scientists are saying that the light band is so great that we probably never will discover all the aspects of light. That's what God is, though. He is light. So when he comes to give you light, there's things that take place inside of you, because God is light, to assist you and to help you and even to develop you as a child of God. And you who are involved in the CIP program, when we talk about the Spirit of the Lord's able to deliver you, the Spirit of the Lord's able to help you, please understand, we're talking about a God that can see through this building He can see you any place you are, whatever you're doing. He can see it all. And come judgment day, he and he alone will be capable to stand to judge the whole world, because he knows all and he sees all. So we contribute to God as being omniscient. The word omniscient means all science, or all seeing, or all knowing, rather. So he can see everything. Now, when I spoke of spiritual gifts, you know, it is just amazing to me that somebody can speak in tongues and somebody can all of a sudden just receive the translation. They can prophesy, or they can discern spirits. You know, I've actually gone to people and talked to people and said, you know, this is what I saw in the spirit tonight. So as men, all of us, it behooves us to stay in contact with God, because we are the house band. We're the band that keeps the house together. Now, Satan wants your light to go out just like his went out. See, he became the father of all lies or deceptions. Now, we know that God has a plan for us, Jeremiah 1:5, and we read this last week. The Bible tells us that God told Jeremiah, I called you to be a prophet even before you were conceived. So I had a plan for you. And then Brother Thompson read this scripture this morning, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The word thoughts there, in several translations, it simply says, I know the plans that I think toward you. Plans of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God has a plan for my life. He had a plan for my life before I was born. He had a plan for you before you were born. Now, if you want to find that plan, what do you need to do? You need to dedicate yourself to God and make sure that you always shun evil or shun the devil. Because while God is trying to enlighten you and give you direction and show you your path, if at any time that you give yourself over to any works of Satan, you know, the devil's going to come tell you that you're not qualified to do a great work. Well, he is a deceiver, the Bible says. Deceiver of the brethren. He lies. You know, if he opens his mouth, he's lying. Now, he can't do anything to you except lie to you unless he gets special permission from God. But the devil wants to destroy those plans that he has for you. And if you feel that maybe you've lived a good portion of your life and you haven't yet found out what that plan is, now I want to be nice to you, but I also want to somehow kind of rattle your cage a little bit by telling you the reason why that you're where you are and you've been living for God all these years is that you haven't let the light of God grow inside of you the way that needs to grow inside of you. And the reason why that many churches don't have revival, can't have revival, is because there's not enough willingness on the part of the people to surrender to God's will so that God can have his way in their life. And trust me, anytime God has a plan for you, and he has a plan for you, and you're not obeying it, it's because that the devil has hindered that plan. And you're frustrated, and you will continue to be frustrated. Some people live their whole life in frustration. They never find that inner peace. And if you notice up here, God has thoughts of peace and not of evil. So if you follow the plan, there's going to be peace in your life. It's just going to be there. And oh, how necessary this is. It's just so necessary. So I am serving a God that I don't have to worry about tomorrow, because the light that God has, he can also foresee the future. Now, I know that if I could go down to the clinic and they can x-ray my chest or any particular part of my body and tell me what's wrong with the bones and everything, I know that God, who creates the light and can read abstract things such as thoughts and intents, in other words, the attitude, why, what is my motive, what causes me to think the way I think? If he can do that, trust me, he can see tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And if you walk in that light, the Bible talks about walk in that light. So you have to walk in that light. Now, Jeremiah, the first chapter, Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, and I've gone over this several times. I want to go over something. I've chosen five people here to help me. So I'd like for the five men that's going to help me to come up here and just sit close to the front. And I'm going to be calling them up. Okay, the five men that I've chosen. Okay, James. Okay, Colin. Jordan. Glenn. And somebody else. Dennis, okay. All right, we have to have a Dennis. Okay, all right. I'd like for all of you to just come up here closer. I wish I could get down the front and walk through this with you. But in Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, the Bible tells us that truth, the way truth is revealed to us. Now, when we come into the world, we have a propensity for sin. That simply means that we're kind of bent toward sin because of our parents, Adam and Eve. They sinned. This is what we call, or most people call it, fallen nature. It's not a Bible term, but I think it's a pretty good description of it, that you don't have to teach people to lie and steal and cheat and all of this. They just have that propensity. It's there. So God, though, wants to save you. And the Bible tells us the grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So every man that walks in this world has the grace of God talking inwardly to him, and he has the light of God shining to bring him out of darkness into this marvelous light. He has that. So God is not just the God of the Pentecostals. You know, we're talking about spiritual gifts, and maybe in your church you've never heard the display of spiritual gifts. But he's a God of all people. All people. That's why Paul says we're all his offspring. We all came out of God. So God is the God of the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists. He's the God of the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Baptists. Now, that doesn't mean that all their doctrines are correct and acceptable toward God. That doesn't mean that, but it simply means that he created us all, and he wants to lead us all into this marvelous light. So what happens here is that Isaiah says in Isaiah 28 verse 9, to whom he shall teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. So I'd like for, I chose Glenn to do this. You just come and stand over here. Okay. Now, what happens is when you follow, let's say you hear a message like this, and you just decide, hey, I wanna do this. Maybe you don't get the drift of everything, you don't have the revelation of everything, but you've got a little bit, so you take one step closer to God. Okay, I need another person. I think Glenn was actually supposed to stand in the middle. Weren't you supposed to be? Okay, he's supposed to be the Lord. Okay, and Jordan's supposed to be the. Okay, James, yes, okay. All right, so here's James. He's the center now. So, All right. Now, what I want you to do is just back up some, and I want you to face Glenn. Just face each other. Okay? Go back out here. You got to walk toward it. So, let's say that full light, full salvation occurs when he reaches Jesus. So he takes one step. In other words, somebody preached a precept, a concept, a law of God. That's what it's talking about. He takes one step. So he walks toward God. Every step he takes, the enlightenment, the revelation gets more visible and clear. You know how that works because you know how you were converted. So then he picks up his Bible and he reads something and says, oh, now I think I need to do this. So he takes another step. Okay. And he's walking toward Jesus. Now, more revelation comes to him. Maybe somebody teaches him a whole Bible study, and maybe, let's say, he takes two steps because he's got more revelation. So it takes two steps. All right. You see, the revelation is getting, it's getting clearer and clearer and clearer because he's doing what is right. Now, it's necessary you understand this, because if you stop doing what is right, you see, revelation stops when you refuse to walk closer or walk more toward God. Because what happens, Isaiah reverses. He said, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So let's say all of a sudden you hear another precept and you decide, oh, I don't know if I want to go there or not. You know what happens? You take a step backwards. And when you take a step backwards, you know what happens? The light that came to you through that last step forward now is leaving you. See, this is serious business. And you will never go further in God than your last step of disobedience. That's it. Now, you may stay there for a little while, and you may reconsider, and you may take another step back toward God. And something else is preached, you take another step back toward God. And something else is preached, you take another step. And all of a sudden, the light becomes so strong and so bright, and knowledge, that's what he's talking about, knowledge and understanding. Your knowledge is, you know now that the correct way to be saved is to repent of your sins. You know now the correct way to be born again is to be baptized in Jesus' name and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know that. So you say, Lord, I will. And you throw up your hands and you walk on toward Jesus. Now, let's put him up close to Jesus. Now, here he is. He's been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But if at any time he decides, and we see this all the time, we see people come in here, get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and a week later they may be back in the bar scene or something. You know what's going to happen? Walk backwards, James. Don't turn around, just walk. You know, your legs were never designed to go backwards. Really. You know, can you figure what a chair would look like if your legs were bent backwards? See? So you can't go back without stumbling. That is, the faster the revelation leaves you, the more likely you will stumble. And after a while, you're back in darkness. And what happens then, let's come on up here and let's get our second man up here. So we have a wrong man. Move up here about 4 feet from him. We have a wrong man. We start out. We have a wrong man that is doing the wrong thing. But all of a sudden he hears the word of the Lord. So this wrong man that's doing the wrong thing He turns into, let's have our second person. He turns into a wrong man that's doing the right thing. In other words, he takes a step toward Jesus. Now, it's necessary to have all these up here now. So James just became Dennis. But he's wrong simply because he's wrong simply. James, get over there. They're supposed to be listening to me, not watching you. Bind him hand and foot. I didn't say that, did I? Okay, here's the thing. Dennis is still wrong because he hasn't done what he needs to do to be saved. But he's doing the right thing. He's walking in all the light that he knows. And every time opportunity comes and God puts out another concept or precept, a line of scripture, he has a willing heart, so he's going to walk. So he walks on toward Jesus Christ. Now, he realizes he needs to be baptized in Jesus' name and needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, Colin, I want you to come up here. Okay. Now, Dennis then turns into Colin. Colin then is a right person that has just done the right thing. Now keep in mind, we got a wrong person that did the wrong thing. We did a wrong person. He turned into a wrong person that did the right thing. Now we have a right person that did the right thing. Now here is the tragedy of that. I want you to listen to this. I'd like for Jordan to come up here. Now, Colin then, if Colin all of a sudden decides that he doesn't want to follow Scripture, or maybe he gets a little cold in God, and sometimes, you know, Satan doesn't care how long it takes you to backslide, as long as it happens. It may be 15 or 20 years. But you have this right person doing the right thing. He turns into a right person. He's still right because he's baptized in Jesus' name, but he's doing the wrong thing. Now, he would actually be backing up, but we're not going to demonstrate it this way. Now, I am not God, and you're not God, so you don't qualify to be the judge of all men. But I think we can pretty much look at the types of people here, and I think we can logically draw some deduction from this. Now, I know enough about Scripture to know that if you're a wrong person and you're doing the wrong thing, that if Jesus came back, you wouldn't be saved. So, James, you can sit down. Okay. And I know enough about Scripture to know that if you are baptized in Jesus' name and you're doing the right things, that you will be saved. So I know that. So we want to eliminate Colin. Okay, you can go sit down. Now, here is the confusing thing to a lot of people. Okay. Dennis is the wrong person doing the right thing, but he's marching toward Jesus. Okay, Jordan is a right person, but he's doing the wrong things. Now, 1st and 2nd Peter were epistles written by Peter to explain the horribleness of right people doing wrong things. It's written to the children of disobedience. Now, like I said, I'm not God and you're not God. But now, here's where people get confused. You know, you may look down the street and you may find a church where they don't even baptize in Jesus' name, and they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet you've done all this, and the blessings of God are just not on your life. And you can look down to this person that is walking in all the light that they know how to walk in. This is the reason why, that we who are keepers of the light, we must witness and share the gospel with other people. See? Because how shall they know without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? But sometimes you can look and say, oh, they don't have an ounce of God over there. And yet, you know, they're doing so many great things. Let me instruct you. You know, if you're the judgmental type person, you need to learn this principle. Because remember one thing, that when wrong people are trying to do right, God will bless them. And if you find a person that hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, and they want to talk about Jesus, hey, sit down and talk with them about Jesus. Don't be so condemning. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't lead them into more truth. But, you know, don't make hell hotter than what it is and try to cast them into it. Now, being I'm not God and you're not God, but I know enough about the Scripture to know how God looks at this man who's wrong. This is a Cornelius-type situation. Okay. Now, here's the right person doing the wrong thing. Now, if you were God, though, and you had to bless, you had one blessing, and you had to choose between this man and this man, now God has many more blessings than that, which one would you bless the most? Would you bless a right person doing the wrong thing or a wrong person doing the right thing? You'd bless the wrong person doing the right thing. Why? Because we have Scripture. You see, what's important in your life is not altogether your spiritual plateau, but it's the direction you're traveling. And what you want to do, you want to make sure that you always travel in the right direction. And you want to make sure that the light that shines in your soul will always shine brightly. Thank you, brethren, for helping me here. This is so, so important. So, if you want to make sure that the light always shines in you, always, always be thankful for the revelation that you have right now. I thank God for the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. I thank God for the revelation of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the revelation of wholesome living. I thank God for the revelation of separation from this world. I thank God for it. I thank God every day for this. Oh, praise God. I say praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Always repent daily. Seek the face of God. Live a separated life. If you do sin, make sure that you fall on your face and you ask God to forgive you, because you don't want that light to go out inside of you. You need to seek the support of strong spiritual people. Always. Read your Bible daily. Be faithful to God's house. Don't listen to all the lies that people have. Be positive. You know, there's some people, they soak up negativity just like a sponge soaks up water. You know, every time there's something, oh, tell me about it. You know, and when they tell you, is there, you know, the thing about people who like gossip, they usually are liars, because they repeat it, and when they repeat it, they don't repeat it the way it was given to them. And you know the reason why they can't keep it straight? Because their motive was not right to start with. See, they want the story to be bad, so they're going to stretch it out a little. Be faithful to God's house. Don't listen to all those negative things. Be positive. Remember, you are God's child, and He has a plan for you. And if you don't walk in the revelation of what that plan is, you know, you must resist the devil when he comes by your way. Now, you can't keep a person from knocking on your door, but you don't have to answer the door. You can't keep people from calling you, but you don't have to pick up the phone and answer. And the devil's going to knock on your door. He's going to come whisper lies in your ears, but you don't have to listen to that. See, you must resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Now, I read Hebrews 6, verse 1 through 6. Let me just, because so many people were not here Wednesday night, I think I need to do this, and I'm going to have to hasten on. Remember, when I'm sitting at this chair, it's easier for me. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Wherefore, leaving the principles and the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms, and a laying on of hands, and a resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. For it is, listen to this, it is impossible for them, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, the falling away is not simple backsliding. I've known of people that have backslidden, been out in the world for years, to come back to God. But if you ever reach the place, I think the scripture calls it reprobate, where you're turned over to yourself. God gave up on them. Gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, and if the light ever goes totally out, it cannot be renewed. So we're talking about something very serious. And to young people sometimes, they'll play around with evil things. They think, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. Well, what's happening is the light that you had inside of you is diminishing. You're losing little by little by little by little by little. And after a while, you have no fear of God. Romans 2, there's no fear of God before their eyes. So I want to go to Matthew 25 and show you this. Now you can still have a part of the light burning in you, but not bright enough to be saved. In other words, in Matthew 25, there's a parable given of five wise and five foolish virgins. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The foolish did not. So the Bible says in verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the New King James Version said, our lamps are going out. I think if you search this in the Greek, you'll find out that going out is probably the translation that you'd want to follow. Now, the light had not altogether gone out, but it was not sufficient when the rapture took place for them to go up in the rapture. So just because you have the Holy Ghost and you come to church, if you haven't been following God's plan for your life, simply because of selfishness, I want to do my own thing, don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Anytime you young people say, I don't want my mom or dad telling me what to do, hey, you're walking on very thin ice with God. Seriously, if you hear the word of the Lord preached and you said, well, I think I'm going to have to. Somebody recently told me, said, well, I've been praying about this. I said, why are you praying about it? You don't think I should? I said, if the Bible says do it, just do it. What do you think God's going to do? Change his mind simply because you're praying? No, he's not going to change his mind simply because you're praying about it. You need to be praying, God, I want to be willing to do what you tell me to do. And so give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for you and us. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So the Bible says, they that were ready. I have to make this assumption. To be ready, you need your light shining. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I'm not going to let the devil blow it out. I want to stay separated from the world. What does the world have that we need? It seems strange to me that people run to God because they're so sick and tired of the world. And after they've been in the church for a while and God's blessings fall upon them and they're led so far in the light, all of a sudden they decide, well, the world wasn't so bad. You have forgotten what the world's about, my friend. When Paul says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And someday, the devil that deceived the nations is going to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When the light went out inside of him, and Jesus saw him as lightning fall from heaven. If the light ever goes out in you, let me tell you something. It's not going to be a picnic when you go to hell. I say it's not going to be a picnic when you go to hell. And you know, now it's just not hardly proper for preachers to even talk about hell. I wonder what Jesus would have done when he walked, if he walked upon the face of the earth now. Would he talk about it? He certainly did when he walked on the face of the earth. He talked of hell more than he talked of heaven. Why would he do that? Because he knows the horribleness of hell, and he knows the length of eternity. Now you need to give your heart to God tonight. You know what? I say you need to give your heart to God tonight. The Bible calls Jesus in 2 Peter 1:19, calls him the day star. See, the devil was the son of the morning. He was the morning star. But after he sinned and man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God did not trust another angel to bring enlightenment to people. He came in the form of a man to bring enlightenment to us and revelation to us. And Jesus was that true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'd like for our praise singers to come, and would you please stand at this time? Oh, hallelujah. You're the light of the world. You're a city that's set on a hill. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to fall backwards and be destroyed. Oh my, I don't want to become a child of disobedience. I want to follow him all the days of my life. I don't know how many more years I have left. I don't know. But I do know this. I've got more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And I'm looking forward to being in the presence of God in a city where there's no darkness. There's no sun or moon, because Jesus Christ is the light of the city. Praise God. Now, if you need prayer for your bodies, we have ministers that would be glad to anoint you. So if you need prayer, you're sick in body, just come and stand over here. Stand over here to your left. Okay? Now, if you have some problems and you need answers to those, and you've been wrestling with some situations, as Peter said, cast your cares upon him, for he cared for you. Come and stand right here in the front. And if you need the Holy Ghost, or you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost, why don't you come and stand over here? If you feel the light's been flickering a little bit and going down a little bit, come and stand over here on your right. Come on, right now. That's it. Come on, right now. Praise God. That's it. Come on.